Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This week, you know, we're going to get to something that's it's not really news, but this is a discussion show, so that's okay. It's okay that we've kind of put off this topic for a while. Where we
had
about
more important things to talk about.
We had more important things to talk about. This one, really, honestly, I think we've got some interesting things to say about it, perhaps, but it's not necessarily an important topic in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't matter what we think on this particular item that much, but I think we all have some opinions that we want to throw out here. And then after that, we're going to talk a little bit about Celebration. But first, Star Wars Episode 8 has a title, and I want to know what you guys think of the title. Is it a good title? What kind of implications it may have? And Chris, I'm going to let you go first because I know that you've been wanting to talk about this a little bit. I know that you guys have talked about it a little bit on the Outer Rim, but not perhaps to a great extent.
I think it's a boring title.
A boring title?
A boring title.
Boring?
Why?
Boring, yes.
Like it drills a hole in something?
Boring. I didn't even. That's good.
It's so sharp, that's it just funny. Cuts right through.
It's not good at all, but it's still. Oh. It's
okay, sorry. Totally misunderstood.
So the title is The Last Jedi, and we also have confirmation Jedi is plural.
Yes.
Which I'm a little surprised that blew up the intro webs as big as it did, but okay, fine.
Yeah.
So boring.
I will say it's a little bit more interesting now that I know that it's plural. But I just, when I saw that announcement, like when I remember seeing the Force Awakens announcement, and I was really excited. Like that made, I was at work. And I was probably having a terrible day at work because I was at my old job, which I was miserable at. So it probably was I remember it made me excited. But now I'm just like, okay. It's really not that creative.
I think I know what's going on here. Lou, I think you and I, the whole grumpy old men syndrome, I think we're starting to hit Chris by osmosis.
Yeah, I think so.
I think.
Well, I was thinking today, because I kind of thought we would be talking about this tonight, so I was thinking, okay, how do I feel about The Last Jedi as a title? And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go back and think about the other titles. So you have The Phantom Menace, which, pretty cool title. It sounds cool, and, you don't know who the Phantom Menace is. Attack of the Clones is really cheesy, but it's action-y. Revenge of the Sith, I always liked. I like the word revenge. A New Hope, also boring, but it fits. Empire Strikes Back, which is my favorite title, is again action-y, and it prompts a good movie, even though without even seeing it. And Return of the Jedi is kind of like heroic. Then you have The Force Awakens, which, makes like something is awakening and something is happening, and then you have The Last Jedi, which is just like,
So that's a good point too. Out of the eight movies that we've had so far of the saga, this is one of only two that don't have any verbs in them that are just nouns.
And I will say too that it's annoying that this is called The Last Jedi, when two movies ago, the Jedi were returning.
But it's been 30 years. They did return. And
I don't care.
Now there's none left. They came back and they did what they needed to do and they're done.
You literally have one movie where you don't even see any Jedi. So they never really returned.
But they did. But that was a singular Jedi.
Okay, so what you're telling me. Okay, let's say that you're watching these movie chronological order, never seen them before. You watch 1 through 6, and then you get to 6, and you're like, oh, and you know that a 7th is here now, so it's not like you know that 6 is the end of the trilogy, or the end of the saga. So you're like, oh, the Jedi are returning. Next movie, we're going to see them back in full swing. And then you see, wait, where'd they go? Where are the Jedi? They're not here. Han barely has to acknowledge their existence.
But you had no reason, young man, to make that assumption. You saw Luke come back. Luke was the only Jedi. All of the others were dead. Yoda, dead. Spoilers. Obi-Wan, dead. Qui-Gon, dead. Mace Windu, dead, etc. They were all dead. Mm-hmm. Anakin returned and was dead. So you could argue Anakin was the return of the Jedi. And it wasn't even Luke. It was Anakin returning and then dying. Regardless, at the end of that movie, there was exactly one Jedi. There's no reason to believe that we're going to have, like, he went out and repopulated the galaxy. He has 7,000 kids out there, and they're all Jedi now. Obviously, not that it would need to be a genetic thing. But, like, my point is, it's an assumption, a logical one, I'll give you that. But it's still an assumption that 30 years down the road, there would be a bunch of Jedi. Now, in one timeline, the Legends timeline, there is. In this new timeline, there's not. It could go either way. And it just happens to be that the way that we have is one where there's not. So the Force...
So in other words...
Uh-huh.
And I hate to bring this up. It's kind of a repeat of the original trilogy because we had Jedi in the first one and then they died. And then there was none in the first movie of the second trilogy, which was the original. And then they come back up, and then they're probably, if there's a fourth trilogy that's made after this, they're probably going to be dead in the first movie.
Wow.
I was making a joke, because people say that TFA is...
You just got really dark, dude.
Yeah.
Now, I see where you're going with that, though. But I don't... See, to me, the title doesn't bother me, but it also doesn't really mean a lot. We know that Luke is there. We see Luke at the end of TFA. So... He is currently the last Jedi, singular. If there are more that we don't know about, then they are the last Jedi, plural. Presumably, in Episode 8, we have Luke and Rey. The two of them, collectively, are the last Jedi. I stand by the fact that Luke may or may not die in this movie. In which case, it would be plural, and then afterwards, singular. And I think that's where a lot of people were excited about it being plural, because that indicates that Luke doesn't die, except it doesn't indicate that Luke's not going to die. It indicates that Luke isn't going to die while Rey is standing there in front of them, him holding her arms out. Or holding her arm out with the lightsaber. Like, he starts the movie and he's alive. So it only has to mean plural for a little bit. It's not, you know... 90 minutes into the film, he can be dead. This doesn't save him from some catastrophic fate magically because Lucasfilm said it's plural. But anyway, to me, it's not a bad title. It just, I don't understand what people are getting so wrapped up in the plural versus singular thing because, okay, there's one Jedi, there's two Jedi. Is that a big difference? No, not really. So why does that even matter? Like the least interesting piece of Star Wars news for me in the last 5 years has been that this is plural instead of singular. It does not save Luke from a fate of eventual death.
Okay.
And again, a Jedi or two Jedi, still, there's not a lot of freaking Jedi.
I think one reason why people were talking about it is maybe because... you can interpret it as the last Jedi being a person, or it could effectively be the end of the Jedi as we know him.
Like permanently. Like yes. There are no Jedi from this day forward. There's just unlabeled Force users.
The Jedi 2.0.
Like instead of having Jedi versus Sith, mm-hmm. Now you have new light side faction versus like Knights of Ren.
Okay, and see, I like that idea. That's a lot to... And it wouldn't surprise me if they actually do that, too, but that's still a lot to take from those three words. Especially since one of the words is the. So, I mean, that's a big leap to take just from that title. It's not necessarily a big leap to take story-wise based on what we know so far. It makes logical sense, and I like that. I like that variation on where things may go, but getting that from this title almost seems more like what's the term for the psychological thing where you take facts and you make them support what you already believe? The term slips my mind now, of course, because the microphone's on. Anyway. It's right on the tip of my tongue, too. That annoys me. And as soon as we stop recording, everybody knows that.
Well, that's what it was, yeah.
But I don't know. Lou, what do you think about this?
You know, I haven't given it a lot of thought, to tell you the truth. Because to me, the title will reveal itself as far as what it means to the viewer as we watch the movie. I think every movie we've had so far really has... You know, the title has meant something different at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the movie. So, to me, it's not a big deal. Is it a cool title? Yeah, it's not as cool as, Revenge of the Sith or Empire Strikes Back, but I'm not reading anything into it. I'm not saying what's going to happen. They're not going to give us a title that's going to give us, you know, the path of what they're going to follow with the movie. Anybody who's expecting that, hey, wake up. You're not going to find that in a title. They're going to keep this close to the vest until the movie comes out.
Can I just ask why you guys think that people are assuming Luke is going to die in this movie just based on this title?
Because he's old like me.
I think the only way that the title...
Thanks, Chris.
but to me, I feel like when I hear The Last Jedi, I think, okay, this movie is going to be about Luke.
Well, either because it would have to be Luke singular. Either Luke is the last Jedi and then he dies and Rey either doesn't become a Jedi or just becomes a Force user that's not called a Jedi, or Rey is the last Jedi because Luke has died. That's if it's singular. And that's, I think, again, why people were so happy to find out that it's plural. I think once people learned that it was plural, people no longer made any assumption that this was indicating Luke would die.
I mean, you know, you could think it's giving you a couple different things. It could be, okay, Last Jedi before they turn into something else.
Werewolves. I'm telling you.
The Last Jedi before they create a new Jedi. You know, they can make this be what they want it to be.
Yeah.
And I just don't know where they're going to go. I'm not trying to speculate on it because, first off, I don't like spoilers. I don't want to know. You know, I want to watch this unfold in front of me on the screen. It's fun to, I may speculate about it in my own mind, but I'm not searching out deeper meaning behind what does this mean? You know, to me, it is what it is. There's a title. We're moving towards the movie. We're going to get a trailer pretty soon. I mean, yeah, I'm excited about all this stuff, but I'm trying not to let it sway my mind as to what I'm going to see on the screen.
Yeah. To me, I'm more interested in speculating on where things may go based on what we've seen so far than I am trying to extrapolate from something as vague as the title or something as specific as the title. I mean, it's pretty specific. There are Jedi and these are the last of them. And that's it. What else are you supposed to get from that right now? By the way, thanks to Zachary in the chat room, confirmation bias.
I know it's
not cognitive bias. It's something begins with a C and it's bias. Yeah. Confirmation bias. But yeah, I mean, to me, I'm kind of with you, Lou. Like right now, the title there's not a lot of mystery to it, in my opinion. Like The Phantom Menace, you kind of, if you knew enough about the story, you could kind of tell it was supposed to be Palpatine. Revenge of the Sith, you could kind of figure out what it was supposed to be. Like there are ways you could kind of extrapolate stuff, but The Last Jedi, there's going to be a lot of Rey and presumably a lot of Luke, and they are the last ones. What else is there to talk about, really, other than the almost what I have to say is that there's not much to say about it, and I guess that's what I have to talk about is the fact that this is become such a talking point, and that surprises me. Because it's, you know, it's going to be words on a poster, and then it's going to be an acronym that we will eternally use to refer to episode 8.
Right.
I don't know. I don't see much beyond that. Anything else before we move on and talk about Celebration a little bit? Anything else on the title?
I think that's it.
Okay.
I will say that I like the red that they used in the announcement. The red coloring font.
Okay.
But that's about it.
Yeah, a lot of people picked up on that too. I must be becoming a grumpy old man. I saw that and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a thing. Moving on. I mean, okay, it reflects, and people are like analyzing it and saying, okay, well, this reflects, you know, they did that with episode 3 and episode 6, which are the ends of the trilogy. Now this is in the middle of a trilogy. Okay, is it significant? I would say no, but even if we say yes, how is it significant? We have no way of knowing. So where do you go with that? But, you know, and Zachary in the chat room points out last doesn't even have to mean final forever. Someone can be the last and still have the line continue. Yeah, it could be the Last Jedi right now. And by the time episode 11 hits, there's 400 more Jedi. But at the moment, these are the last of the Jedi. You know?
Maybe Luke has been like secretly training them on that island for years, and there's like a whole army.
Well, yeah, they're called the Knights of Ren. Which my wife is really happy about. Her nickname is Ren. And so she's like, wow, I have a whole group of bad guy force users that named after me. I'm like, yeah, not surprising.
You better watch your step, Eric.
Oh, I knew I was doomed for a long time. Anyway, so moving right off of that topic. Celebration's coming up. Not too far away. What, 6 weeks? Give or take?
I think it's about 40-some days now, right?
Oh, wow, that's frightening. Okay, we are going to be at Celebration.
I need to buy a plane ticket.
You do need to.
I just got mine last night.
Lou got his last night. I got mine about 3 or 4 days ago. The plan is, and we understand that some people out there are not going to Celebration. So we need to cater to both demographics. The plan is Lou, Chris, and I are going to be at Celebration all 4 days of the convention. Anybody who's an audience member, you don't have to be a Patreon donor. You don't have to do anything special. If you listen to the show, even if it's not even regularly, we don't care. Come say hi to us. Follow us on Twitter, and we'll be posting different things. We'll be doing different places. We'll be what panels we plan to attend. We'll probably have some sort of a t-shirt on for the network or for something. Come up and say hi. Introduce yourself, please. That's cool for us. We like that sort of thing. We're going to have some sort of official random chatter network scheduled get together. And anybody listening to this right now is invited. If you have friends with you, bring them with you. We don't care. It's not going to be anything like massive or huge. It's not going to be like the 501st bash or anything. It's just, you know, we're going to find some restaurant or bar to go to, and we're just going to camp out and park there for the evening and hang out and maybe play some card games. Probably do a recording or two and kind of pass the mic around the room a little bit, and just have fun and just kind of a meet and greet. Aside from that, we will probably, emphasis on probably, we will probably be, doing, you know, breaking up into smaller groups for meals or possibly bigger groups for meals, whatever. You're welcome to that stuff too.
Wait,
for me personally,
how do you break up into a bigger group?
You break up into smaller groups, or we might maintain a bigger group.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I do audio podcasts. That doesn't mean I speak just asking, well. It doesn't mean I'm articulate. Jeez. Think I know what I'm talking about? Of course not. So for the people who are not going, we are going to be talking about some planning and the logistical stuff, but we are also going to be trying to bring you content from the convention. We're going to be doing some walking tours on video that we're going to post to our YouTube channel. We're going to be doing plenty of recordings, especially lots of smaller recordings, I think, that we can then post quickly throughout that week. We'll probably try to work on some interviews and things like that as well. But we will try to bring as much of the convention to you as we can. A lot of the panels are already going to be streaming, so we'll probably focus less on that and more on the convention experience and such.
Mm-hmm. The Florida is the best part.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And like I said, and we're going to be doing, you know, walking tours, walking video tours of it. We're going to be doing interviews on the floor. We got the whole thing planned out. For the next several weeks, we are going to have episodes of Echo Base that are focusing on how to prep for not just for Celebration, but really for any kind of convention. We're going to have some tips and tricks. We're going to have we'll probably have a couple of people on as guests talking about it. We will also cover other Star Wars related stuff, though. If there's any breaking news, we've actually got a couple of topics to talk about already that have come out over the last week. Though for the news, you want to tune in to the Outer Rim show, because that's where you're going to get your actual weekly news. But there are a couple of things in the news that we're going to want to comment on a little bit. So I'd say probably a third of the upcoming shows will be general Star Wars stuff, and then the last, you know, the back half or two thirds of the episodes will be preparing for Celebration. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to give you a brief overview of what's to come. This is kind of a prelude to the rest of the series. We are going to be looking back at Celebration Anaheim. Right now at this episode, after I get through this kind of, table of contents, if you will, I want to talk to Lou and Chris about what our favorite experiences were from Anaheim, because I think it's important. I think if you go in with an expectation of what you're going to get out of it, then you get even more out of it than you expect. And a lot of times what people think they're going into the convention for, they come out with something different. Hopefully something different good, as opposed to something different bad. But we want to talk to you guys about what surprised us that we walked out with that was valuable to us and meaningful. We are going to be talking about how Anaheim went. We're going to use that as an example of how to pick what panels to go to and how to organize time. We don't have the schedule for Celebration Orlando yet, because they're not going to post that until like a week before the convention, because there's always last minute cancellations or additions or something like that. That's going to be like last minute information. So we're going to go look back at Anaheim's schedule and kind of walk you through, if you're planning out your convention, what are some strategies you want to use to come up with a basic plan. We're going to talk about the importance of keeping your plan flexible. We are going to talk about packing and travel preparation, what to do as far as eating and health and hygiene. It's something that's overlooked by a lot of people at conventions, and there are some specific tips and tricks that you're going to want to take a look at. I might have my wife on the show again. She's an ER nurse, and she actually has some really good insights on this sort of stuff. Because a lot of people, they go to the convention and they come home and they're sick for a week afterwards. It happens every convention. San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, Celebration, doesn't matter what it is. And we're going to try to help you mitigate that and figure out ways to avoid that. We're going to talk about...
Can I say one thing?
Absolutely.
Sorry to interrupt, Eric.
No.
When I went, and I don't... This is something that I don't know if we would talk about on the show or mention with the whole hygiene thing. But I wanted to say it now just in case I forget or it doesn't get brought up. Bring eye drops.
Yeah.
Lou can attest to this. When we went to New York the first day, I don't know if it was just like the air in New York or Connecticut that did it or what. But the first day, my eyes were... My eyes were so like watery and itchy, and they hurt, honestly, because I was rubbing them all day. And after our concert that we went to, we had to find a drugstore in the middle of New York so I can get some eye drops.
Yeah.
And they really help. So I will definitely be bringing them with me to Orlando.
They're going to help a lot on the plane, too. A lot of people don't realize that airplanes are some of the most dry environments in the world. Yeah. So when we talk hygiene, we're not saying, hey, use deodorant. We would like to think that most people figure that out by now.
But
that's the kind of thing we probably shouldn't have to tell people. The eye drops thing, that is something that, you know, would be helpful. We're also going to talk about one of the most important things, I think, with any convention is balancing attending panels with wandering. I'm just going to call it wandering, whether it's wandering through the exhibits, if there are any, whether it's the tables that are set up for different fan groups, whether it's the stores and the vendors, whether it's the art gallery, the tattoo section, whatever it is. Panels versus wandering, that's a really important thing, and I think there are different approaches to it. So we're going to talk about those different approaches. What to do if you're going for all 4 days versus one day. Totally different strategies involved there. So we're going to talk about that. What to carry, what not to carry. There are a lot of people who underpack by a lot, don't have anything they need once they get there. There are a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this, who overpack. And they walk around with basically an entire disaster shelter in a backpack. And
I can attest to that as far as Eric's concerned, because I remember waiting, you know, trying to get it back in the flight to go home, and Eric's repacking stuff in different bags to make weight limits. Yeah.
That's the airport's fault. I had everything in that bag. They're the ones that decided that there's too much weight in one bag and not enough weight in the other bag. That was obnoxious. But, you know, that's another thing that we'll talk about. Socializing and how to communicate with people. Everybody uses cell phones these days, but that's the problem. Everybody's going to be using cell phones. You're packing 800 gazillion people into a convention hall. The cell towers and the internet connectivity is potentially going to be rough. Now, a lot of venues have gotten a lot better over the past few years of taking care of that sort of thing. But, that's still kind of a thing. So, things like that, you know, planning, what to do after the convention at night. There are some events going on. Some of them cost money and some people are not going to want to go to those events. So what to do in the meantime? So there's lots of things that we're going to talk about. But I think for the rest of this episode, for what little we have left, I want to talk to you guys a little bit, just kind of a bullet point list, if you will, looking back at Anaheim. I want to know how your expectations going in either differed from or were exactly the same as what you left with. And then also, what were your most memorable moments there at the convention? Now, the three of us were working with the Forcecast at the time, and we had passes that most people won't have access to. So there were some things like getting to meet Mark Hamill after the convention when everything was getting torn down. That was kind of unique to our experience. That's not the kind of thing that other people there are realistically going to have an expectation of happening, nor will we this time, sadly. But excluding some of those types of things, in the context of what anybody there could expect to have happen to them as someone with a normal badge, or even as part of a website group or a podcast group like we are, or just an average Joe off the street. Lou, this time I'm going to start with you. What were your expectations going into Anaheim versus what you came out with?
Any surprises? You know, I don't know if my expectations were any different when I got there versus when I left. I mean, it wasn't the first big convention, but the first celebration I'm going to do. It wasn't the first big convention I'm going to do. So I kind of figured there was going to be, you know, a floor with tons of people and tons of things to see. And, you know, I was kind of trying to pace myself for what I was going to get to look at. And it's just, you're never going to be able to see all of it, even in a 4 day, you know, trip. You do have to budget time for what you're going to see panel wise. you know, make a list of your, you know, top four or five, you know, big hit things. I really want to do these, because you need to make sure you're going to be there for those and not seeing something else when you could have been waiting in line for what you really wanted to see, you know?
Now, real quick, if I can interrupt, you mentioned things that you skipped. Now, I think it's important, if you're going to skip things, that you make a conscious decision about what you're going to skip. The stuff we skipped, we knew exactly what it was we were missing out on. I think that's the important thing. Be educated on what the schedule is. But we made some decisions to skip things. So, Lou, what were some of the things that you skipped?
Well, I mean, first thing I decided to skip was the opening session. I mean,
which is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be the huge deal, that Kathleen Kennedy was going to be out. They're going to bring the cast on stage. They were going to, you know, I mean, the one thing I'm sad that we missed, you know, BB-8 rolling out on stage for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, nobody realized it was a practical, you know, droid. It was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, but I also didn't want to stay in line overnight in that huge hall and not get in anyways, because I figured I would not be towards the front of that line. you know, that okay. kind of thing was something that I made a decision to say, you know what, I'm going to watch it from a stream somewhere and I won't be sad. I'll still be with other Star Wars fans. We'll still be enjoying, you know, the convention. So it wasn't like I had to be there in that room.
And that's something that a lot of people are surprised by every time we talk about the fact that we skipped the opening ceremonies. Like, you skipped the openings at Celebration Anaheim before Episode 7? You skipped that?
Right. Yeah. One of the things is, I mean, to me, if I can't be up in the front of something where I can get a good view of what I'm going to see, I'd probably rather see it on a screen somewhere where I can see more detail and you know, experience what I really want to see, not in the back of the room where I'm going, is that really so-and-so? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to you guys, I mean, like sporting events and going to different things, I'm always, you know, hey, I would, unless I can afford to get really good seats and be right up front, I'd rather watch it from the comfort of my own home, or, you know, the comfort of an ability to see it on a television screen where they can give me close-ups of the people. And I can really get a feel for what's going on there.
A lot of people feel that way about sporting events, or years and years ago, someone told me, you've got to see this new thing called Cirque du Soleil. And I'm like, okay. And they kept pestering me about it. So Netflix had one of their movie, like concert movie things on DVD. I rented it. I watched it. It was really impressive. Years later, we were in, I think we might have been in Orlando, now that I think about it. And they had Cirque du Soleil there. So we went to see it, and we had seats that were maybe 25% of the way up from the back. And it was boring. Because I just got done seeing it on a big screen with like great camera work, and it's right there in front of your face, and now it's like, it looks like tiny ants running across a little. And now, to be fair, a lot of Anaheim's rooms were set up so that if you think back to the Rogue One panel, we got decent seats, but even back further, the seats were set up so that you still got a pretty decent view. There were balconies with pretty decent views. So, you know, it's not too bad, but I agree with what you're saying. If it's an important panel, you want to get in with at least decent seats, or else what's the point?
Yeah. But I guess, I mean, your point is right, that you want to go in with a plan of, I know I'm not going to get to see everything.
Right.
So make a plan of what you really want to see and kind of focus on those. And then anything else that pops up, you know, in between, hey, you know, you can sometimes catch a good thing when you're not expecting it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris, what about you as far as expectations going in versus what you left with?
Expectations, honestly, I really didn't know what to expect. That was my first convention, like not even small, big convention, just first convention in general.
Okay.
So I didn't know really what to expect. I remember walking in on the first day before the doors open, and I was just captivated by the space and how quickly it filled up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly, my best advice is to not really I liked going in not really having any general expectations of what I want to do, but I will say that I had a very particular schedule that got thrown out the window in like the first 5 hours. So I would say, as far as panels go, pick something like your main number one, only have one priority, that you do just the, for, you know, for every day, and not, don't necessarily plan around that, but like, if you really want to see it, a lot time. Right. That being said, if it's something like one of the actors panels, or, you know, the ending celebration or something, like, I would say to plan and see if there's going to do a stream of it, especially an actor panel, because don't get me wrong, I went to Ian McDiarmid's panel, and Mark Hamill and James Arnold Taylor's doubleheader panel, and Anthony Daniels' panel, mainly because I really didn't have anything else to do at that those times, but I went, and they were cool, but again, I was too far away to really like see them up close, and I mean, it was interesting to hear them talk, but they were also, I think, at least maybe one or two of those were streamed, so I would check that and just see what your priority is. Also, I would say to plan to have time to walk around the show floor and look at all the vendors, because
we're definitely
one of my favorite
that.
One of my favorite times was when the three of us walked around the floor and saw all the vendors and you know all the cool merchandise, because you have the general generic things that people are selling, but you also have some really cool Star Wars items that you aren't really expecting to see, because you know, maybe an old action figure or an old, I don't know, the Phantom Menace shot glass or something. I don't know.
And the whole time we're walking around, Lou is whispering to Chris, check out how much of a shopping addict Eric is. Well, watch this. Here we go.
Yeah.
look at this.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And also one more thing, socialize.
Yep.
That's something I wish I would have done more. And I mean, I guess we can kind of talk about things that we didn't do that we wish we would have, that we're going to this time. Yeah, I'm going to socialize with more people and take more pictures with all my friends. And, you know, rather than it's about the convention and it's about seeing all the cool things, but it's also about having fun with people that, you know, you might only get to see every 2 years.
Right. A lot of those things that you talked about, we are definitely going to bring up in more detail throughout our celebration prep series, because those are really important points. And there's a little bit more to them, a little bit more involved. Now, to think like, so for me, I guess personally, I had been to Celebration 3, and I had been to some smaller level comic book conventions and such in the past. Anaheim was definitely the biggest thing I had been to. And since then, I've been to New York Comic Con once. And then there will be this one coming up. I kind of had an idea of how large and how busy things were going to be. What I didn't expect, I hate getting my picture taken. Hate it. Some of the best things I came out of the convention with were pictures of me at that experience. Now, picture of me and Mark Hamill is one of my favorites, but I've got pictures with me and Lou, with I think I've got a couple with you and me, Chris, not many though, with the Force cast group, in front of different props. They had props set up specifically for photo ops. And, you know, I've got a picture of myself in what I at the time thought was the Millennium Falcon. And it turns out it was actually supposed to have been the Outrider. And I guess the interior just looks a lot like the Millennium Falcon on every ship in the galaxy. a shot of me inside the cantina that it turns out we weren't even supposed to be in that set. That's a story for another time. you know, somebody had an R2-D2 robot outside the convention that they were showing off, and I got to stop and get a picture with them. Josh from the various podcasts that he and Jay do on the Random Chatter Network, I think it's his next door neighbor dressed up as Hondo, did the accent and everything, and it was like the character stepped out of the TV series onto the convention floor. I mean, it was a spot on costume. Got a picture with him. Having those things made a difference to me because it was capturing a moment of an experience. For me, autographs, they don't mean anything to me unless there's an experience involved. That's a whole nother thing we're going to get into as well as autographs, how to handle that, suggestions on what to do, not to do, etc. Otherwise, expectations going in versus coming out. Socializing, Chris, what you said, that was a big deal. Just the shared experience. There were a lot of friendships that developed, I think, through that. I got closer to Joel as a result. I met Mike. He came up to our booth and we started talking, and we started talking about the need for a gaming podcast, and that's how the Sabacc table came about, really. It was a lot of that sort of thing that made a difference to me. Now, you mentioned things that we skipped and didn't do. Lou, I'm with you completely. I do not have any regrets on skipping the opening ceremonies. It was streamed everywhere, and it was important, but it was an important part of my convention experience, so I'm okay having skipped that, I think. I skipped all of the actor panels, and I'm always okay with that right up until they die. I've never seen Carrie Fisher, and her shows were supposed to be amongst the best. But I always had this attitude of, this convention, the schedule's just not going to work out. I'll do it next time. So you have to keep that in mind. But a lot of the actor panels are experiences of that actor. You're in the same room with that actor for an hour.
Yeah.
And if that's important to you, if it's important to you to listen to the stories that those actors have, definitely do it. For me, I've had some exposure to some of them behind the scenes anyway, so I don't prioritize that the same way as I prioritize other things for me personally. But I do regret not going to see Carrie Fisher, someone with whom I had almost no behind the scenes interaction ever. That I do regret that. Otherwise, experience-wise, I don't think there were a lot of things that I really regretted. I lucked out not even attempting to go to the 3D viewings of the movies, because those were a debacle.
I stood in line for an hour or so for one of those and didn't get in.
Yeah, and you got the glasses, right?
Yeah.
Which
is cool, but, you know.
One of the things you have to expect, too, is that line management is not always going to work out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep that in mind, but
yeah.
Any other just like bullet list things that you guys want to throw out there that, maybe you want to talk about in more detail later, particular things that really stood out in your mind as far as do's or don'ts, like things that you really, like for me as a podcaster, I was glad that I had a small little bag with a handheld recorder that had two microphone inputs, because it made it really easy to go around and do interviews on the floor. I only used it for just the one morning, but I felt really validated that my planning in that regard worked out really well. There were other things that, like I said, I probably overpacked in some areas. Anything like that that you guys look back on and say, I wish I'd done this differently? Not just with packing, time management, choices you made, anything.
Just socializing, probably. Yeah,
socializing is probably the biggest thing. And, you know, plan on bringing money, and then when you get that worked out where you get that, what you want to bring, you'll bring more.
Yeah.
Bring more money.
Especially if your name is Eric Blythe.
I was good. That was good. New York Comic Con is where people went overboard.
Yeah, there is a ton of great art.
Yes.
Even if you don't buy any, like, go up to the art and just, like, look at it and see, like, just if you like something, tell the artist. That's what they're there for. They love to hear that kind of stuff.
Even if you can't buy it. I mean, some of it's expensive. Mm-hmm. Some of it's not. Some of it's, you know, $20-$30.
Even they even have, like, little, sometimes people have, like, little small prints for like $5.
So keep that in mind. But, even just tell the artist, listen, you know, I can't afford to copy this print, but I just wanted to let you know, I really appreciate that. That is stellar. I mean, that's an incredible, painting you did there. And I just wanted to let you know, thank you. And they love that.
Yeah.
They love that validation that, I mean, they like hearing from their fans too. You can be a fan of theirs without necessarily buying a piece of their art. So, but definitely you really should, you know, if you are going to shop, because whether it should be or not, that is kind of my thing. my wife wishes it weren't, I tell you. There are, you know, okay, so this Sphero BB-8 thing I'm holding right here, it's awesome, right? But I could get this anywhere. I could get this at Best Buy. I could get this at Bed Bath & Beyond, believe it or not. I would not buy that at Celebration. I've got pieces of artwork here. I wonder if Sarah Wilkinson's going to be there.
Uh-oh.
I should find out. It's not stalking her. It's asking a question. Stalking's not funny.
Stalking.
That is not something to joke around about, dude.
Hey, Eric, guess what?
Yes.
Lou and I met her at New York Comic Con.
Yeah, guess what, Chris? I got a hug from her at New York Comic Con that I went to. Yep, and four from Vanessa
That's
Marshall.
True.
Four,
man, that was a dig at me and Lou.
I know, right? Because there's four of them, so it's like two for each of you. How you like that? Seriously,
I got a hug from Sarah. I got a hug from the bus driver, but you know.
Anyway, art is a great thing to buy there because you're going to run across a lot of stuff you're not going to find anywhere else. If there are certain things you're into, like pins or convention exclusives or things like that, that the vendors have, I would get those. I would not get, you know, things you can get on Amazon. If you can find it on Amazon, don't buy it at the convention. Basic rule of thumb.
Yeah. Because there's going to be a few, you know, exclusives that you want to get your hands on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I, for one, go for the Hallmark and Lego if they have them.
So. Yeah. So there are vendors that are like people who sell lots of things, and then there are vendors like Hallmark and vendors like Funko. So there are companies that are there, and then there are what I refer to as the vendors, the guy who has a store that sells a bunch of collectibles. Hallmark has some great stuff. Funko has great stuff, but if it's anything like New York Comic Con, you need to...
be on their website, apparently.
You need to be on their website. You need to sign up for notifications. You're going to need to get tickets to stand in line. Like, you have to get a ticket in order to stand in line to then hopefully get into the store and get stuff before that day's allocation is sold out. It's a mess, and I don't necessarily know that there's a better way for them to handle it. I'd like to think that there's a better way, but the reality is the demand is so high for this stuff that... They're kind of between a rock and a hard place. So if you're into Funko stuff, just be aware that you're going to have to work your butt off to get the exclusives there. And that has to be a focus. Pretty much anything else. I mean, the Hallmark stuff, go over to the Hallmark booth, expect to wait in a long line and you'll get it. Usually. But it's not like you're not camping out overnight for stuff. The Funko stuff,
no.
You're not literally camping out overnight, but it's the equivalent. I mean, you're jumping through crazy number of hoops.
Yep.
Fantasy Flight Games, they do demos of
right,
their games.
Right, yep.
It was just announced today, Star Wars Destiny, which is the dice and card game that I wanted to do a podcast for, but the problem is we couldn't get it off the ground because the product is so hard to get. They sold out so quickly.
Yeah, can't find them anywhere.
You can't I've never seen them in the wild. I bought what I have off of eBay, and that's it. Apparently, they're reprinting this first release in June. The month before that, the second, the first expansion comes out, so the second set. But point is, at Celebration, it's April, you're probably not going to be able to buy much of it yet, but you can get a game demo of it. If you get an opportunity, I would definitely try it. The game is phenomenal. As much as I love the X-Wing game, Star Wars Destiny is just, it's an incredible game. I love it. I would play it all day long. If you can do an X-Wing demo, get an X-Wing demo in. X-Wing is a lot of fun. If you can get a demo for either Armada or Imperial Assault, if you're interested in them, you might want to do that too, because those games are a little bit more complex, and sometimes having someone walk you through the steps will give you a better idea of how to play the game than just reading the rules. So keep in mind that there are going to be game demos and stuff like that too. The Star Wars Battle Pods, I think, were at Celebration Anaheim.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They were also at New York Comic Con later that year. So there'll be a lot of things that you can go around and demo too. Just keep in mind that depending on the popularity of it, there will be lines. Star Wars Battlefront. EA had a demo for Battlefront there. There's a long line for that.
Can I say one more thing?
Really
quick. I know some people that I've talked to are like stressing out and freaking about over lines. They're really not that bad.
Derek?
Yes.
The lines aren't that bad. A lot of it's going to be, again, Battlefront was a big hyped thing. It had a line. You could get through it, but there was a line. Funko, again, I don't remember Funko at Anaheim. I do remember Funko at New York Comic Con. What else? I mean, none of the panels really had
the only
that big a line.
Panel that had a really long line that I didn't stand in was the screenings at the end of the day and the opening panel, but everything, mm-hmm. and the Rebels panel too was a big deal.
The Rebels panel had a line, but it was manageable. Well,
I mean, there were big lines. We waited in line for Rogue One,
and but it wasn't
was a
bad
good size line.
It was less than an hour, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought we got in line more than an hour ahead of time.
I don't remember.
I think it started at 11, so it was probably less than an hour for you guys.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we got pretty decent seats too.
Yeah.
We wanted aisle seats. We got aisle seats. It was relatively
thank you, Chris.
Close to the front. I mean, I don't think you're gonna have a big problem with panels other than maybe the opening ceremonies. But keep in mind the other thing too, the opening ceremonies, they had it in the largest stage available, and then they streamed it to all of the other stages. So if it was just that you wanted to see what was going on, you could walk right into one of the other stages with no lines at all, as long as you were okay watching a stream. The lines for things like the Hallmark booth and the EA booth and the Battle Pods booth, those were the things that you had to wait longer. But there are strategies for dealing with lines, too. That's a great time to socialize and you know, tell people, hey, well, let's meet up at 11 o'clock. We'll go wait in line for the EA stuff and we'll hang out. And
right
there you go. There are ways around that sort of thing. And we'll talk a little bit more about strategies for that sort of stuff later. We're going to talk about how to deal with the desire to see absolutely everything you can. And it can be done. I don't envy you. How to make sure you get to all of the panels you want, in which panels you will probably get more out of than others, how to make sure you get to see all of the booths in the shops, the people who are going there to shop or hit collectibles, how to handle that sort of stuff. If you want to be more of a paparazzi and see all of the celebrities, what are some of the better ways to do that sort of thing? The do's and don'ts for dealing with the celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them can be surprising. So there are different types of strategies that people will use. We'll talk a little bit about those too. But in the meantime, if you have any questions about, what to do or what not to do, if this is your first celebration that you're going to, or maybe you're preparing for San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con, later in the year. And we've got other, veteran convention goers here on the network, Mike and Ernie from the Retro Convo, and I think some of the other Retro Convo guys too, they go to all sorts of conventions. So we can even bring them on the show and stuff to answer questions, but let us know what questions you have. Additionally, if you are a veteran of going to conventions or specifically Celebration, let us know what tips you have, what things you believe other people don't take into consideration, but should and would want to know about. So let us know. You can send us an email, echobase@randomchatter.com. And I think we're going to wrap up the show. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we sign off?
No, I think we've got it pretty much covered. Oh, you know, one thing I do want to mention, if you're a fan of Think Geek, and you have one of their convention bags, bring it, because they usually have a patch they will give you that can be put onto the front of that, specific to that event.
And it's a good bag, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Bring a poster roll, a poster tube, or be prepared to buy one there. You will want to buy art of some sort, and you will want to put it in poster tube. Plain and simple. So, anyway, we'll talk more about that stuff later. That's going to wrap it up. Echobase@randomchatter.com. That's the email you want to send stuff to. You can find us online at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. On Twitter, Random Chatter is the main Twitter account for the network. Echobase Podcast is the one for this account. Chris, where can we find you on Twitter?
I'm at the Curse of Chris.
All right. And Lou?
Just my name, Lou Secchi, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
All right. And I'm Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. You can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. Do not forget The Outer Rim. That is now the Star Wars news show on the network. So you definitely want to listen to that. Ghost Stories is our show for Star Wars Rebels. And, of course, we've got a lot of other stuff over there. If you're a Star Wars fan, you should probably be watching The Expanse on Sci-Fi.
Yes.
And if you are, you're going to want to listen to The Crash Couch. That's our Expanse podcast. But regardless, you can find all of those at randomchatter.com. Leave us reviews on iTunes or wherever you get our podcasts from wherever you get our podcast. Yeah, there's a grammatically correct way to do that. I'll figure it out later. Tell your friends about us. Live, we may be changing the recording schedule up a little bit because I believe we are about to announce a new host, which will change some of our recordings, but we will at least be continuing to do Tuesday nights, generally at 9 o'clock PM. Sometimes
keyword generally
closer to 9:30. Yeah. Just follow our main Twitter feed for the network and you'll have the updates each Tuesday as far as if we're on time or if we're running a little bit behind. What else? We want to give a quick shout out to everybody, who helps support the network on Patreon. If you are a Patreon donor and going to going to Orlando for Celebration, please let us know, right away. If you haven't already, we want to know, we want to prioritize getting together with you and meeting up somewhere. We want to do a meetup with everybody, like we've said before. But specifically, we want to make sure that we connect with our Patreon donors while we're there. So please drop us a line if you're going. If you don't know much about Patreon, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. We've got information for you there. All of our donors, every one of them, even if it's just $1 a month, gets access to our Slack team. And we've got a lot of channels there, a lot of conversations going. It's a great community. I couldn't be happier with... I thought when we set this whole Slack thing up, we were going to have all kinds of nightmare problems with trolls and people not treating each other well and stuff like that. And I cannot begin to say how proud I am of the people who are there. Not just do they treat each other well, but the quality of the conversations generally are really good. There's a lot of good content there. I feel like an audience member to them half the time. Which is cool. That's exactly what we want out of a community like that. Highly interactive, intelligent, fun, entertaining. They're great. So thank you to everybody who's been helping support us. And that's it. The music you hear at the beginning of the show is The Imperial March, done by Cell Dweller. It's an awesome track. It's available in iTunes and Amazon. I suggest you pick it up. And that's it. We are going to sign off and close the blast doors here at Echo Base. Be sure to tune in next week, and we'll have more information. And we will officially start our Celebration coverage with a little more structured list of suggestions and strategies and and ways to prepare for the convention. So until then, take care, everybody. Catch you later.
The Force will be with you always.